you pay the ransom. Oh, what a gift we are saved.
It was 7 Sundays ago that we began a series of 10 weeks leading up to the Revitalization Conference that's set in 2 Sundays from now on the 3rd of November. That afternoon, it's in the bottom of your bulletin. I think it says that the first conference is actually at 4 o'clock, and then the associational worship, associational-wide worship service is at 6 o'clock that evening. So we are looking for you to come and be a part of that. There's about 40 or so that have signed up. The sheet's back here. Go to the end of the hall on the left. It's on the bulletin board. And I'm hoping that we'll have upwards to 100 there that evening celebrating together. And we've talked about stop complaining and start being thankful, stop coveting, be content, stop criticizing, start loving, stop doubting, which was last week's, and today about being faithful. Now, I want to remind you, don't have it on the screen, but I want to remind you that revitalization is not a conference. It begins one person at a time. And I can't begin it for you, and you can't begin it for somebody else. It begins one person at a time, God, to search our hearts and reveal the sin that is in our life and remove it. Remove some of these things of complaining and coveting and criticizing and doubting, next week rebelling. And remove those things. We ask forgiveness of God for that sin, for that hindrance, for that whatever is there, and we seek God with all of our heart. Now, today we're going to be talking about being faithful, and I hope that you'll go ahead and turn with me to Hebrews 11. I'll turn to that in just a moment. James MacDonald makes this comment about faith. He says, only when faith replaces our doubt, the doubt in our life, the doubt of a believer, can the real joy of knowing God become a reality? Do you have joy in knowing God? Now, some of you saw me bring that chair up here. I meant to do it before we started and it slipped my mind. But the chair is a reminder. You stood up a while ago several times and you sat down in the pew and you never gave it a second thought. You had the faith mentally, internally, without any doubt that you could sit on that pew and it's not going to collapse, fall apart, or whatever. Same with a chair. It doesn't matter what the chair looks like. We know that chairs are made to hold us up. And so without any doubt, when we walk into a room, we see a chair, and they invite us to sit down. We pull the chair out, and we sit on it. We don't give it a second thought. But when it comes to our faith, things are a little different, aren't they? When we listen to what Jesus says about having faith, that's when the doubting Thomas in us comes out. And we wonder, well, do I really need to do that? Can I do that? Will God be there with me when I'm involved in that? In one of my devotions this past week, I learned that the first mistake that hinders us, the one we make in our faith walk, do you have a faith walk? That's my word. Faith walk. Faith walk is when you get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord, what's in store for today? And the more you do that and the more you get involved in that, you'll find two things happening. Satan wakes up and goes, oh gosh, I got to work on him some more. And he'll gather his minions around to come after you. But the other is God will start doing some amazing things in your life. So I learned that the first mistake that we make that hinders our faith walk is our daily preparation, our getting prepared for the day. You remember in the story of Gethsemane, it's Thursday night. They've been in the upper room, the disciples and Jesus. They've experienced the Lord's Supper, the Passover, and he's explained to them Judas has left. And now they've finished the meal and he said, come with me to the garden and pray with me. And he left some of them behind and three of them he took with him and he said, come with me and pray with me. And he had them to kneel down and sit down, and then he went a little bit further and he prayed. Peter was the one we talk about all the time. It was that night that Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before tomorrow. And what did Peter say? He did what you and I do. He declared, that can't be true. That's just not going to happen, Lord. I will die for you. Okay? I guess that's how he felt. But that night, Peter could not stay awake 1 hour to pray. He said he was willing to die, but he couldn't stay awake 1 hour to pray. And here's the statement I like. That night, Peter missed the most important prayer meeting of his life. The most important prayer meeting in history. He slept through it. He wasn't aware of what God was doing in his life. Three times Jesus comes back and finds Peter asleep. Can you not pray with me 1 hour? Three times he comes back and reminds me of the three times that eventually Peter denied Jesus, and the three times after the resurrection when Jesus comes back to him and says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And then he gives him three commands, and each time that he speaks, three times. What Jesus wanted was Peter's heart. Peter had no clue what was going to happen that night. He still hadn't got it. None of them had. None of them had. So if I were to ask you, do you have faith today? Most likely you would say, yes, I've got faith. But would you say I would die for my faith? I'm not sure. I think we say that. But would we? How many times do we make those big declarations of faith, but we fail to take the small little itty bitty steps of obedience that will lead us to the fulfillment of that declaration? We can die for our Lord, but not if we're weak in our faith. And we need to know that. So just like Peter, sometimes we're asleep at critical moments of our journey, our faith walk with the Lord. James chapter 2 verse 18 says, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Our faith should lead us to a faith walk that makes a difference in this life. So here in chapter 11, I want to kind of walk through this here for a few moments, because this is the main chapter. This is that chapter of the heroes of the faith. You link chapter 11 with chapter 12, which begins with the great cloud of witnesses. These are a couple of chapters of great encouragement. So if you have your Bible, I hope you'll follow with me. It says in verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not know or see. Now the word confidence is also substance. It's the substance of things not hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not yet seen. So those words are interchangeable. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, Paul is writing to the Hebrews here, and he's trying to remind them what these men and women that he's about to talk about, what they were commended for. Why are their names listed in the heroes of faith? Why are their names listed as if they're already, and they were in the great cloud of witnesses? Verse number 2:3 says, by faith, we understood that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Now, I know a lot of times we read through this real quickly and we don't have a clue what it just said. But God was in the beginning, and only God. And out of God's creative power, he created the universes. And he created this earth. And he created us. Not from something that wasn't there, that was already there, but by something that wasn't from the very beginning. I love this whole battle over climate change. Have we forgotten what we were taught? Most of us were taught when we were younger. Do you remember the ice ages? Do you know that the earth rotates on its axis? It's tilted slightly. and it goes back and forth just ever so slightly as it revolves around the sun. That's not a perfect circle. And that axis turns not on exactly the over numbers of years, slightly different. Do you know it doesn't take but just a little while, a few feet, to make climate change difference on this earth? That's all it takes. And that's why we had ice ages. And now we've got what we've got. And we're turning away from it, from faith. Verse 4, by faith Abel brought a better offering to God than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of that offering. And by faith Abel still speaks today, even though Cain killed him, because of his faith to bring what he brought was from his heart. It wasn't necessarily a legalistic gift. He gave from his heart a gracious gift of thanksgiving to God. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He was transfigured is the word we use. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, if I knew it were true, I hope it is, I die and I have something on my tombstone, I hope it'd be something like that. Wouldn't you? One who pleased God. We don't know that for sure, but I would say Billy Graham was one who pleased God. People like that. Faith in God. Enoch was one of those. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen. Now, what wasn't seen? They'd never had rain before. They'd never seen a flood. And, of course, he'd never had a boat, not an ark. He hadn't seen those things. When he was warned about things he hadn't seen, in holy fear, in reverence, in respect, in honor, he built an ark, it says, to save his people from the devastation that was to come. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place that he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he entered into the promised land. By faith, he was obedient and he followed. In the middle of that verse, verse 10, Sarah, who was well past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Enabled. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Or in Enoch's case, when he was transfigured up. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham was tested, and he passed the test. Verse 20, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. Not knowing what that future would be, he blessed them. Verse 21, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed Joseph's 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 22, Joseph, later, many years later, knowing that there would be an exodus, there would be a salvation experience, not knowing exactly how it would happen, not knowing what all would happen from Egypt. He gave specific instructions concerning the burial of his bones. They'd be dug up and they would be carried back home to the homeland. Verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents, they hid him for 3 months after he was born because they knew he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid. They were not afraid of the king's edict. They didn't. They didn't worry about that. They trusted and they had faith in God. Verse 24, Moses. This one, I love this one. Moses, when he had grown up, it says, refused to be known. Literally, he denied himself. He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh or Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated among the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And he regarded disgrace for the fate for the sake of Christ as a greater value than all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to a reward. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone wants to follow me, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That's denial of self. Moses denied what he could have rightly had on this earth. He didn't have to do the things he did. Go down to verse 31. Well, 30, 30, verse 30. By faith, Jericho's walls fell. They marched around Jericho for 6 days, one time, blowing the trumpets, praying. And then on the seventh day, they marched around seven times and they blew the trumpet and the walls came tumbling down. By faith, that took place. Verse 31, the prostitute Rahab, by faith, was saved when she entertained and hid the spies and asked for mercy in the day of judgment. For whatever reason, God had revealed himself even to Rahab, and she knew enough to ask for salvation, and she got it by faith. And just verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about all these other people, all these other things. There's so much to do. Verse 39 says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received much in this life. It's not what it says. It says, received what had been promised. Literally, in this life, the Holy Land, the promised land, but the promised land to come, they didn't get that yet. Many of them suffered and died. Many of them had hard lives to live. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, I want to go back to verse number 1, basically, and talk about two segments of that verse. Number 1 is this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is he talking about? The substance of things hoped for. Well, he goes on here in the first part, verses 2 and following down to about number 8, 9, 10, and 11, right in that area. And he tells us exactly what the substance or the assurance is in their life as they prayed by faith. Faith is understanding. It's understanding the things this world are not understandable. Did you follow that? We are brilliant people. We have computers now. I left mine down there. You know that you carry a computer with you all the time. That phone is a computer. You've got more access on that one little phone, cell phone, than they used to have in the IBM days of the 60s when buildings like this were built with all these machines and you run those little cards through them and it took hours to research stuff. You got more power and knowledge and ability with that little cell phone. I don't understand that. I really don't. Guess what? I don't have to understand that. I just know how to access it. It's interesting. I was assisting Alan in putting the gate opener on, and we're down there and we're trying to program our cars to the gate opener. Well, we finally read the instructions because we didn't understand. Why isn't this working? And I kept reading instructions. I kept doing the same thing, just what the instructions said. Did it over and over and over again. Alan's scratching his head. I'm scratching my head. I'm going, what's going on? I don't understand. Until I read a little bit further. If you have previously programmed your car to another garage opener, you got to clear it out. Understand. Didn't understand that. If it hadn't been written, I'd have never gotten it. Faith helps us understand. We don't understand. But God does. Secondly, it says faith here leads to worship. Worship. When Abel came with his offering and he offered it to the Lord, it says it was an act of worship. Sunday morning for us at this hour, this, what we do is an act of worship. We must be careful that nothing we do in our mind, heart, and soul, or with our bodies and with brings any disrespect to to the one we worship. You wouldn't come to a funeral and act like a fool. Why would we come to worship and do the same thing? We have to be very careful. It also says in verse 3, and I said this and I've already talked about this, faith pleases God. Does your life please the Lord? It pleased the Lord. Enoch was one who pleased the Lord. We don't even know what he did, but he pleased the Lord. The fourth one is faith builds for salvation. When Noah was building that ark and people were making fun of him and laughing at him all those many years. Now we have this mentality that says, oh, he built that thing in a few weeks. No, he didn't. It took years, decades to build that boat because it had never been done before. And as people, I'm sure, came along, they made fun of him. And he offered to them what God had offered to him. Salvation. Saving from the flood to come. There did not be any flood. We never had any flood. What's rain? But it came. And for most, it was too late. Faith is obedience. Obedience. Abraham. He didn't know where he was going, but he was obedient. He did what God said do. And he went. And only when he got there did God begin to reveal more. See, a lot of us have never seen the revelation of God because we haven't been obedient in the very first thing. Go. You say, I can't witness. Have you tried? Have you gone? Yeah, I remember the first times I went out witnessing as a teenager. Lockjaw. Big lump in the throat. Not knowing. The more you do it, the more you can do it. And then finally, I love this one. It's about Sarah. The impossible happened. Faith enables. Faith does what you and I can't do and couldn't do, what the world says can't be done. Faith changes everything. The substance or the confidence of our faith is in what we do to demonstrate that we have faith in the one true God. And what is the reason for it? It's in verse 10. Because we're looking for a city whose foundation, whose architect is the and builder is God. We have faith in the one true living God. We know by faith, if I sit on that chair, it's going to hold me up. We know by faith, if I believe and obedient to him, he will be there in the midst of us. How many of you have ordered something online? Fess up, Brenda. Brenda is the online ordering queen of the church. And she's going to get us on Amazon Prime, and we're going to start having stuff here delivered rather than running all over the world. Okay. How many of you have ordered, fess up, how many of you ordered something online? Okay, yeah, I saw a hand go. Don't want her husband to know I did it. You ordered it. You gave him your credit card number, didn't you? And then you held your breath. But then it came, didn't it? Or did it not? It should come. That's a terrible illustration, but I think I can make it work. Lord, help me today. It's a little thought. I got to face a giant today. I don't want to face the giant. I don't. I don't want to go there. But I don't have a choice. Help me. And as you stay in prayer and you work toward that giant and the confrontation or event takes place, God helps you. He helps you. Helps you keep your calmness, keep your spirit, keep your witness, keep your tongue, keep your anger in check, keep yourself checked and in the right place. You do it once. Everything didn't go exactly like, but you realize God was there in the midst. It could have been a whole lot worse. By faith, God enables along the way. The second part of that verse says that it's the evidence of things not yet seen. It's the assurance. It's the assurance that if I pray by faith, it happens. It's the reason I believe is because I'm learning to believe by faith, walk by faith, have the faith walk in my life. So the evidence of faith is seen in the outcome of the lives of the heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11. Let's go ahead and move to the next one. And the very first thing it says in verse 13 is this. All these people were still living by faith when they died, and in Enoch's case, when he was translated. All of them were still alive. They were living by faith. It's why they're named and written in the book, and it's why we remember them here 3,000 and 4,000 and 5,000 years later. Abraham passed the test. See, the evidence is in passing the test. He passed the test. He was told, you're going to have a son. That son's going to be the seed, the father of a great nation, and you won't be able to count all the people. I watch a little bit of Ralph Sexton right about 8 o'clock until the time we leave, 8:15, and he was talking about all the Jews that were murdered during the Holocaust. 78% of the Jews living in the Europe area at that time were murdered at that time. I thought to myself, holy mackerel. We just don't think in those terms anymore. But Abraham passed the test because he only had one son. And God said, now that I've proven to you and Sarah that I'm God, I want you to take that son and sacrifice. What would you do? What if your son or daughter came to you and says, like ours did, says, I want to be a missionary to South Africa. Oh, really? I did the Lieutenant Joe Kenda thing. I went, my. And then the next thing out of my words, how do we talk her out of this? Well, we couldn't because it was a God thing. And it wasn't our business to talk her out of it. And she went. And it's influenced everything she's done in her life. But God said, now, Abraham, I gave you this son. Now go sacrifice him. That means you're going to put him on an altar. You're going to kill him, spread his blood out, and you're going to burn him. And Abraham got up and did it. He went up to the mountain. He gathered the brush. He laid his son out. The son said, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. And he did. And God shut him down. Brought the sacrifice. He passed the test. That's the evidence. That's the proof. That's the assurance that faith is good. Isaac lived to be able to bless his sons, Jacob and Esau, in order, even though God flipped their life order around. Jacob blessed the 12 sons of Joseph. Before he died, the 12 tribes of Israel came out of that. Joseph knew by faith that one day God would deliver all these people out of Egypt. And he gave them specific instructions. You take my bones and bury them, but when it's time to go home, you pick my bones out of that ground and you take me back where I belong. Moses' parents, they passed the test also because they weren't afraid of the king's edict. They put Moses in a basket and they pushed him out into the water, and by faith they let him go. And by God's providence, he was saved. That's a good thing. That's the way it is. Moses also denied his privilege to live in the king's court. But I love the story of Rahab. She's the one everybody in here most likely would reject. She's the one we would be appalled by. Do you know what she's done? Do you know how many men she's been with? You know her. Well, what about you? You know, she's the one we would run out of here in the flesh. We would, not in the spirit. But by faith, she was saved. God comes to her. God reveals to her. She sees what God's doing. She's heard about the exploits of the children of Israel. And now they're there at Jericho. And she was saved. Because of her faith, she was saved. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time that you prayed in faith and had to wait for God's answer? And you didn't stay where you were waiting. And I've said it before. The more you pray, the more you will see God answer your prayers. Now let me tell you real quickly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, what faith is not. Faith is not an ostrich sticking its head in the ground. denying reality and truth and believing it'll go away. Faith is not an anti-intellectual movement in our mind. You don't check your common sense at the front door and come in here and do stupid things. Faith is not a stained glass window or any other artifact. Faith is not a motivational seminar. Faith is not a revitalization conference. Faith is not a positive mental attitude. Just have a wonderful day in the Lord. No, that's not faith either. And faith is not wearing religious apparel. And I could go on and on and on and on and on that. Faith is founded on a relationship with a God, a personal relationship with a God who loves us so much that in our sin, which is rejected and not able to enter into heaven, He forgave us. And He forgave us in a way that is unforgettable. He died on a cross, His blood was shed, and He gave up His life. He went into hell for us. And then came alive 3 days later and revealed all that truth. It wasn't till then that Peter began to really wake up. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. I kind of wish he said feed the goats too. But he said feed them. Feed them. Doubting Thomas. We talked about him last week. It took a week. It took a week, but he finally came back, and there the Lord revealed himself. Touch me, Thomas. No, he didn't have to. The Lord revealed himself to him. And God said, blessed are he who has seen and believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and will believe in their lives. Faith is a personal relationship with a living, awesome, wonderful God. It's not relying on my abilities and talents, my education, my wealth or fame or anything that I may or may not have. It is trusting in God alone that He is good. You ever heard of the mathematical theory of expended energy? You Duke Power guys know this. Mathematical theory of expended energy. A math physics professor in a college university was teaching on this equation in his class. And he led them on the board through the mathematical theorem and discovery of how to prove the theory of expended energy. And when he got through doing the mathematical formula on the board, he turned to him and said, do y'all understand this? And they, yes, we understand this. These were brilliant students. And he says, okay, you understand it. Do you believe it? Yes. Raise your hand if you believe it. Yes, I believe it. Okay, you believe this mathematical theory of expended energy. Now, here's what it says. It says the mathematical theory of expended energy is an untouched pendulum swinging from a certain height will never swing back to that original destination or point. It never does come back. And they looked at him, and so he drew it on the board. He showed them how. Now, in the room, he had hanging from the center of the room a chain. And on the chain, almost to the floor, was a giant steel ball. And he grabbed the chain and he pulled it over to the chair. And he sat down on the chair with the ball right there touching his chin. And he says, how many of you believe if I let this go, it will not touch my chin when it comes back? A few hands went up. And he stood up and he let the ball go down a little bit and he dropped it over here for a second. He said, now wait a minute. You believe the theorem, you believe the formula, you understand the process, you've seen the pictures, you do believe. And he talked them all into raising, yeah, we believe, we believe, we believe. He said, you come sit in the chair and let's see. Who would be the first? How does God test our faith? maybe by sitting in a chair we've always sat in before by faith, and then something different happens. What is that? What is that like? What could that be? I don't know. It could be forgiving someone who's hurt you. It could be loving a neighbor who is a very unloving person. It could be helping someone in need you don't know. I don't know what that thing. You're used, and I'm used to sitting down in the chair of faith all the time. But that ball looks, I can't let that go because it's going to come back here and hit me right square in the nose. But it won't. Are you willing to walk, stand up from the chair of faith and walk the faith walk wherever God leads you, wherever He says to go? Three thoughts. Here's how you do this. Here's how you build up enough faith so you can sit there and watch that ball coming at you and never flinch. First of all, you have to cultivate it. You cultivate your faith through the Word of God. You must get into this book and read it. You must study it. You don't have to read Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus all the time, but the Psalms and the Proverbs and reading the stories and the prophets and knowing what they read from God's Word and hide His Word in your heart that you might not sin against you. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Second, you have to confess. You have to confess. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Confession includes repentance of the heart. Remember the five love languages of forgiveness. Well, this takes care of three of them. I'm sorry, Lord. I was wrong. God, please forgive me. And He does. So confession takes care of the first three just like that, which leads to commitment. Proverbs 3:5-6, it was on the screen earlier this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all the ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Commitment includes taking action. And so what are the last two love languages of forgiveness? I'm not going to do that again. How do I make it up to You? Lord, I will follow You wherever You go. I will not deny You if I'm tempted. I will allow myself to sit there in the face of the wrecking ball coming my way. What about you? Let's pray. Father, faith is a message that we could preach on every week and never cover it all. But by faith, these men and women lived long time ago and set an example for us. They weren't perfect people, but they were people who pleased You, people who obeyed You, people who followed You, people who did what You said to do. And when they did, each day their lives, their spiritual lives got stronger and stronger. Lord, that's what I want. Lord, I know that's what our folks want, our church wants. It's what our association wants. We need this, Lord, more than anything else. We need this. So we pray in faith. If it has to start small, help us to start and let it grow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The good news about God's faithfulness is that it never changes. That law of decreasing energy, that ball would never hit him in the face. It would swing across here, and then it would come back, but it would never quite come back. That will never change. God never changes. Give your heart and your life to the Lord today. Let's stand. Let's sing. when you sing it like that and you mean it in your heart, it makes all the difference in the world. Let's praise God together as we pray. Father, as we dismissed, we're grateful to you. You're faithful. Build our faith. Allow us to trust in you when the world seems to be falling apart, to know you, experience you, to cultivate your word, to confess our sin, and to commit our ways to glorify your name. Until you come again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.